Blog Talk Radio.
This is George Gamond, and it is the Tuesday show. So, how is everyone today? You ready to have an interesting show? Ready for your calls? The setup for the show is pretty typical, I guess. It's want to give you readings, want to let spirit know what's going on in your life, you know, and being clairvoyant, clairaudient, and claircognizance is something that I've been kind of like really focusing on, which is really about just reading you and know what's going on with you, and then maybe getting into why things aren't happening, and then what the universe has for you. God, universe, spirit, take your choice, right? Take your choice of words there. So that's what it's about. I'd love to get into your past lives. See a little bit more about what your past lives, what happened, what's carrying forward, people that you're in your life now. And I'm actually very good at this. So I've done a lot of past life work with people, past life regressions, but also a lot of past life readings. And it seems that they do correlate really, really, really well. So let's do that. Let's talk to some dead people. If you have any relatives you want to hear from, or friends or family members, or, you know, I love to connect with famous people. If you have one famous person that you would be interested in getting some kind of information. Now, I can't guarantee they'll come through. You know, they're all on their own little journeys, right? So you never know where they're at right now. But I'd love to do that for you. So, and I'd like to hear from them. And sometimes I channel my spirit guides. Actually, you know, when I'm doing this, I kind of do surrender myself to my spirit guides and let them kind of guide me through the show and lead me to where I'm going to go next. Okay? Got it? So that's what I do. So we're going to talk about the word love today, but not love in the sense of romantic love. You know, we always think of romance and so forth and so on. But I was thinking about, you know, I get caught up sometimes in the political thing of like, oh, the changes in the world, and I'm a cause-oriented person, and I want to see changes in the world and things done to make things better and blah, 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 right? And, you know, fix climate change and make the bring the planet back into balance. Things like that, stuff like that, you know, like end war, all those good things. So I think about that. And then I thought, well, how can I do it? What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Get all, like, what can I do? What can I do to make these things happen? Then I realize, and it comes back to me, spirit reminds me, ooh, it's love. It's love that will solve these problems. Now, so I wanted to delve into the word love a little bit, and I have some other articles that are, you know, on different subjects, and I have one that's kind of fun about the body from WebMD. I thought it would be kind of fun to play with a little bit. Now, waiting for your calls, though, and our chat room calls, see what you have to, you know, ask me if you have any questions. If you want to hear from somebody, like, you know, a dead person, you can go in the chat room, and if you give me their name and when they died, I can try to connect with them. I usually connect with your energy, even if you're in the chat room, especially if I've known you, if we've talked before, it's even easier. So we can do that. So let's get into the word love, but let's get into the word agape. It's a Greek word. It's from a Greek word. It's an English taking on a Greek word, and that's the kind of love I'm talking about. Agape love. So let me go to Wikipedia, good old Wikipedia, and look up the word agape, which I did. It's a type of love. It's from the Greek, okay, and I'm not even going to pronounce the Greek word. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Greek, but it is love, the highest form of love, clarity, the love of God for man and man for God. To be godlike, to offer love in a godlike way. I'm going to just paraphrase and put my own little spin on some of this, so work with me here, okay? I'll check back and see if you want to talk, if you have questions. I'm willing to interrupt whatever I'm doing for you. I love you guys, and I want to connect with you more than connect with, you know, but I love these articles about love because this is the kind of love that I'm talking about. God is love. Well, God is this love, this the highest form of love, the principled love. Okay, so let me go on with the article a little bit. Agape embraces a universal, unconditional love that transcends that and it serves regardless of circumstances. So you could say that agape is unconditional love. Ooh, that's an interesting word. So what if the world practiced unconditional love? Think about that for a moment. What if the world practiced unconditional love? Wouldn't it be a different place? Wouldn't it be kind of like a totally different place? I think so. You think about the war and the problems in the Middle East and the political system and blah, blah, blah. Wouldn't it be kind of cool if they all practiced agape love, unconditional love? And I'm going to get into a little bit of Jesus' words on love, too, and thoughts about that. And I was thinking about a lot of the political leaders talk about being Christian. You know, that's the big thing now. It's my faith, you know, my faith, and, you know, you follow my faith, or my faith is so great, right? Okay. So Christianity developed agape as, well, let me go back a little bit, go back in the Wayback Machine a little bit. Other ancient authors used forms of the word to denote love of a spouse or family or affection for a particular activity. In contrast to philia, an affection or that would devote friendship, brotherhood, or generally non-sexual affection, and eros, the affection of sexual nature, eros, erotic is what the word came from, eros, which is the Greek word. I studied all this a long time ago when I was in my ministerial training. So let me just jump right here. Okay. Let me move forward. Let me check in with you guys, see if there's somebody out there that wants to talk or have any questions or you want to talk to a dead person. Okay, if not, we'll go back to the word agape and agape love, and we'll go into some thoughts on love and the different kinds of love that are out there. And, well, I guess it gets into the Bible and the Christian scriptures, the New Testament. And it talks a little bit about the words, but let me flip into something in Jesus' words on love and the thoughts there. And I'm going to go into, this is from brainyquotes.com, so I'm not kind of thumbing through the Bible looking for stuff. Okay. Using these principles of agape love, and that's why you started with that word, because when he speaks of love, he's speaking of agape, or this principle love, this unconditional love. Okay, and the Bible writers use the word agape in these contexts of writing. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, and you must love one another. So it's a principled love, unconditional love towards one another. Okay, the new command. It's like replacing all the other stuff, but some people don't want to believe that, but it did replace all this stuff. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun shine on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Do we see that in the world today? Do we see this principle being applied? You know, if I got into other sacred texts and if I got into Buddhist writings and some other writings, you would find a very similar thoughts about love. Okay. And even in Quran, as I understand it, and I'm not an expert on the Quran, there's thoughts about love and the same kind of concept of love. Okay. So love your enemies, unconditional love. And with that applies the word forgiveness, forgiveness. That's a big one, right? Can we forgive others, right? Okay, let me flip through here. There's some other texts that aren't related to love itself, and I want to get into something about love. This is one that's not about related about love, but this is kind of like a principle of the law of attraction. And I thought that I would throw this in here. And it's like it is about unconditional love towards the universe, God, source, energy. I like the word source. Okay? Oh, there's a couple of them here I'll use. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. So just stay in the moment. Don't worry about tomorrow. Okay, what did he sell? He had some other ones. He said that. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. So just turn it over. Ask for it, right? Ask for it. Ask for whatever you want. Ask for whatever you want. You will get whatever you want if you ask for it. So that's the other principle there, as of asking for it from God, and you will get it. I got somebody buzzing in my ear, and it's just like annoying as all get out. So let's see if I can give me out. Oh, there it went away. Okay, so. And then Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. It's that's that agape love being spread, being pushed down from God, okay? And then the famous text that people refer to all the time, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. But that's all part of that principle of unconditional love, that all that principle of the final thought on love and agape love and from Jesus and the Bible and so forth, and I'm using this in context of the idea that if we can apply these principles, if we can use these principles, and if we look at political leaders and leaders in the world and even religious leaders, are they really applying these principles of love? And I keep thinking of in terms of, okay, this is the solution. This is the solution we've always wanted, but we've ignored, okay? So all the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal. I don't drink, okay? Shall not steal, you shall not covet, and so on, are summed up in this single commandment. You must love your neighbor as yourself. But what if we did that? What if we just applied that basic thought in our lives? What if we just loved our neighbors as ourselves? Now, hopefully we love ourselves. Hopefully we have a deep, sincere love for our own self, right? So do we do that? Do we apply that in our lives? So I'm going to talk more about love in this context of love, of agape love, but I want to take your calls. So what do we got going on here? We got you guys not calling in, so we'll just keep moving on with this love. And I might take a break and get into a whole different article, just for the fun of a whole different article, and then get back to this. And okay, so let me get into Goodreads, and there's some thoughts on agape love. These are from various writers, and I'll just give you the quotes, and some of these names I'm not even going to try to pronounce, but we'll go through them anyway. Love is the most unifying and empowering common spiritual denominator. The more we ignore its potentials to bring greater balance and greater meaning to human existence, the more likely we are to continue to define history as one inglorious record of man's humanity to man. In essence, what he's saying here, and I don't know the author, and it's from quotations through the power, no, Journey Through the Power of the Rainbow, Quotations of a Life Made of Poetry. Abrajani. I guess that's the name. Okay. But think about that thought for a moment. If love is a unifying, empowering, common spiritual denominator for all of mankind, and if we continue to ignore that, look at the path we're on. Look what the path we're on. This world's anguish is no different from the love we resist on holding back. An interesting thought. And then Martin Luther King said, Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream was a manifestation of hope that humanity would one day get out of its own way by finding the courage to realize that love and nonviolence are not the indicators of weakness, but gifts of significant strength. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that love and nonviolence are the way out of it? I'm trying to find some other writers. They use this writer a lot here. And there must be someone else that I can quote. There were some other ones. Okay. Hannah Bencher. Bencher? Agape is a loving person for exactly who they are, but not who they hope they'll become without fixing. It is this idea that every person has their layers, so you can never confine a person to only what you know about them from the first glance. It's stacked on the premise that to love someone is to hope in them always. Ooh, that's unconditional love. That's agape. It's that unconditional love towards others. Okay, so I talked about love, and I've gone on and on and on about love, and which is a good thing. So I'm waiting for your calls. So when I kind of summarize this whole thing about love, and I wanted to talk about that for a few minutes, if we're going to do something in the planet to make a difference, if we want to make change in the planet, if we want to create a better environment for ourselves, if we want to bring about peace in the world, it's the application of this unconditional agape love, learning to apply it and learning to use it in our day-to-day life, being more accepting of others, being more forgiving of others, to thinking of in terms of humility. And we won't get into all that, but you understand the principle here. It's learning to apply this unconditional love in our day-to-day lives. It's unconditional love towards the planet, right? Caring for the planet, doing what we can to the environment itself, right? It's unconditional love towards other life on the planet, the animal kingdom and the vegetable kingdom, right? I mean, you know, it's love for the planet itself. I think in terms of love for animals and avoiding the cruelty and allow the systems within place. Also, unconditional love in towards ourselves and to our neighbor. Okay, so moving right along. So it's like we apply these things and we learn to just demonstrate unconditional love, this agape love, in all facets of our lives. Now, what if we did that in the corporate world? What if in the corporate world that there was this feeling of unconditional agape love towards employees, towards competitors, towards suppliers, towards customers? You can see the value, how the society would change if we could do that, right? If we did that. Okay, so let's move on. Let's move on to another article. We talked about love. So in my doing what I do and the work I do and to help people, it really is trying to bring into this unconditional love into our lives. It's using this unconditional love to deal with other people in relationships, in our lives. And it's really, for me, it's kind of like the mission. The mission in life is to talk about this, to push this, to help people to get the clarity of this and what it means to live this way. Okay. I know I'm going on and up, but I'm waiting for your calls. And so I want to talk to you and I want to hear what you have to say. So let me just get into a couple things here. Let me get into an article on 6 ideas for dealing with failure. Now, if I had you there and I could ask you, okay, what would you rather hear about? The 6 ideas for dealing with failure, fascinating facts about the body, which I think is kind of fun, kind of interesting. I love science. I love to get into the scientific stuff from time to time and kind of go there. So this is interesting about our own bodies. And it's amazing how our bodies have evolved over the millenniums of years, and so that we can now, how we function. And actually, we're pretty efficient. We break down from time to time, but pretty efficient. And I believe that even if we have genetic issues, that we can change those. We can reprogram our brain, our bodies, to be more efficient. Okay? We're not meant to be here forever. We're really not meant to be here forever. We're meant to live a full, complete, and fun life. Okay, well, we won't go there. We'll just leave that alone from a spiritual practice, and that we have many journeys that we go through. That's why I like to get into our past lives. So we're going to talk about failures, or three dangerous words that hold people back. Okay? I'm going to hold off on that one. And then there's an article, is someone too controlling? 10 questions to ask. Let's start there. Let's start there, and then let's get into the body a little bit, about the body, some facts about the body. And if you have any questions or thoughts or anything you want to get into, we'll do that. I bring these articles up is because I find them interesting. I find that they might have some value, but also just to kind of entertain at some level and to let spirit comment. And let spirit comment on whatever I'm talking about. So let's move on. So let's do this thing about controlling. So this is from beliefnet.com. Let me try to find the author's name of the article. Linda Mintel is a relationship columnist for BeliefNet. And okay, so Dr. Mintel, Dr. Linda, doctor, so psychologist most likely. So, Rachel, he's so controlling, can't even go out with my friends, or he gets mad. Should I be concerned about this, or does this mean that he really loves me? Barb, you should be concerned. Someone who gets upset when you go out with friends is controlling. Why does he want to isolate you like that? That is not healthy. And that was just a comment, and I'm sure that was a comment from readers of some form. Barb is right. Everyone who is easily angered when you spend time with friends is walking the fine line between control and abuse. Controlling people want you under the thumb and doing things their way. The root of this is insecurity and codependency in a relationship. And the problem is that when someone is controlling, it can escalate to abuse. So what are the warning signs of controlling a person in a relationship? Ask these 10 questions. This raises some interesting questions, which I won't get into today, about controlling and can there be control in a relationship? Is there a way of having control in a relationship and for it still to function and not be abusive? If both partners agree to it, right? If both partners agree to a form of control. But let me get into this, and then we can talk about that another time. If control sometimes is appropriate in a relationship. Manipulation. Are you feeling manipulated? Controlling people give love and affection in order to get something. That's not unconditional love, is it? No, not at all. If you are not getting the same in return, but feel you constantly have to do things the way the other person wants things done, you are being manipulated. Are you being manipulated? Are they getting something from you? Interesting. Manipulation. So you'd ask that question. Manipulation. Isolation. Are you being isolated? Let me read the rest of it, but I have another thought on this too. Just like the story above, controlling people like to isolate you in order to have more control over your thinking and behavior. Other people are threats because they might challenge the controlling person's thoughts and actions. Isolation becomes a strategy to shield you from healthy relationships. Oh, it is a form of control. Isolating to control somebody. Isolating to punish that person. they've been bad, so I'm going to punish you by using isolation. That's not love, is it? That's not love. That's not unconditional love. So I'm taking from this, how could we change that? Unconditional love would be to talk it through, to find out what's going on, to understand it. Okay, what's the next one? What is the next one after isolation, if I can get there? Self-esteem. Are you being put down? Another strategy of highly controlling people is to tear away at your self-esteem. When your confidence is low, you'll be more dependent on that person. So, you know, this is like, I've seen this in relationships, and I've seen this put down. And I'm doing readings for people for, how many years I've been doing readings with people. That seems to come up a lot, is that, you know, he tears me down or she tears me down. But it, as it's said here, the reason for it is so you will be dependent on the other person. So is somebody tearing down your self-esteem just to... So that's self-esteem. So is your self-esteem. Now, we're talking in relationships, but these are signs that you can actually, look at as you start getting into a relationship. You know, putting these little things up and saying, oops, yes, I see it. I see it in my relationship, okay? Even as it starts, these are little red flags, or big red flags, in the beginning of a relationship. Always right. Can you answer the person and talk about issues? If the person is easily upset when you question them or want to discuss a problem, this is a sign of control. If they are always right, then you will begin to question your own thoughts or to build resentment. Both lead to problems. Do you ever know anybody like that who is always right? Ooh, I think that kind of sucks. Nobody's always right, right? Nobody's always right. Lies. When the pressure is on, are you being lied to? The need to control often outweighs the need to tell the truth. Okay. And being manipulated through lies. If you question the person, know the truth, and the person lies, this is it's a huge red flag. If the person's constantly lying, and if you can trip them up on their lies, then you really know that you have a problem with somebody, right? Changes to yourself. We're back to this controlling idea. Is somebody controlling you? I saw this in a relationship. Let me go through the article, but I saw this in a relationship. Are you being asked to change? Does the person not like your hair, clothes, the way you talk to people, your laugh, your outgoing personality, etc.? If the focus is on making change to make the person like you more, run from this relationship. Yeah. You know, I was in a relationship with a woman who wanted me to change, who wanted me to be different, didn't like this, didn't like that. Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you change this? And it got to the point of, no, absolutely not. I don't want to change. I like who I am. You change because you see the value in change. You change because you think, oh, yeah, okay. Ooh, the next one. Are you experiencing anger over little things? You talked to a coworker, arrived to dinner 5 minutes late, forgot to call one night, and the person explodes with anger, telling you how insensitive or uncaring you are. Pay attention. Over-the-top jealousy and anger only over small things are signs of control. You know, if you're ever in a relationship, and sometimes... I question people who stay in a relationship where these things happen and they say, I love the person, but they don't love you. They're not expressing unconditional love to you by expressing these things. It's not reciprocal. It's not reciprocal. So why hang in there in a relationship? Next one, which is really good, and they're all related, and I've seen this in people, and I'm going, yeah, okay. Are you trying to set boundaries with no success? Controlling people don't like boundaries. It limits their control. When you say no, they don't respect it and continue to push to get their way. How many people have actually been in that situation where people don't let them have boundaries, don't allow you to set up boundaries, whether it's privacy of some kind, verbal boundaries, time boundaries, whatever it is, no boundaries. And I saw families like that. You ever seen known families that don't allow boundaries between people and it's always trying to control each other, right? Temper, which is a little different than anger, but it's similar. Are you uncomfortable with a person's temper or moods? Huge red flags because moodiness and the inability to regulate moods speak to an anger problem. Yeah. Everyone has a bad day now and again, but if the moodiness is persistent and you find yourself a little afraid, yeah, that's a cool one. And it's more than having a bad day, as they say here, but if you sometimes feel uncomfortable with a person because you don't know they're going to flip into a weird mood, an anger mood, that's tough, isn't it? You really don't want to be with somebody, right, like that. Again, we talk about the word love and we talk about unconditional love. That's not applying unconditional love. Unconditional love would realize that I can't treat you this way. I have to control my moods. I'm not expressing love and forgiveness and caring and respect to you by doing these things. Okay, let me check back because I know I've been going on and on, waiting for callers and see if anybody's there. Nope. Okay, so moving right along, let's get back to the subject matter. Other relationships, this is number 10 on the list, are you the only one the person spends time with on a regular basis? Does the person have other friends? Who are they? Does the person have a good family relationships in the church or the community? If the person is also alone most of the time, this is a signal that relationships are problematic and may be plagued with control issues as well. It's like, can the person maintain other relationships? Does the person have other relationships? Or are you there for them to control only? What about their family? What about their friends? Do they have other relationships? Or do they run into that bound those issues with other friends and people push them away because they are controlling and other people aren't embedded in with them to the extreme that a relationship, so it's easier to pull away from somebody who's controlling and demonstrates all of these issues. So watch for that. What is their relationship with other people? This is good thoughts for not just obviously for people who are getting into a relationship with somebody, a new relationship, or an older one that you've been in for a while, and you start seeing these signs or they get more prevalent, you go, maybe it's time to pull out of this. This is not for me. I can't change this person. I can't help this person. They need to get some professional help if they want to stay in relationships. Okay, so we've done that. We've talked about this is a really interesting subject. I think I'm going to just talk about the body for a few minutes and wait for some callers and see if anybody wants to call in or get into the chat room and talk to me about anything. Okay, so let's do that. Let's get into this whole thing about the body, and it'll be fun for a few minutes, and then we'll do some other things. And I'll check back and see if you want to talk to me. So, tongue lashing. Ooh, number one, the body. Few muscles are as hardworking as the tongue. By day, it twists to form the words you speak and pushes around the food you eat. It sounds like almost a poem, right? While you sleep, your tongue moves saliva down your throat. Now, I didn't know that before I read this. I didn't know that your tongue would actually push saliva down your throat while you're sleeping. Did you know that? It's an interesting fact. Not significant, but it's your body's just doing it all the time. Things that your body does, like your tongue, you don't even know it's doing. Go with your gut. I like this one. This is an interesting one. Okay. End to end, you got about 27 feet worth of intestines bundled up in your body. 27 feet. I mean, you stretch that out. What is that? 27 feet is 9 yards, almost a 10-yard line. If you look at a football field, American football, and you see the 10-yard lines from 10 to 20, that's almost as long as your intestines and your body. That's a good way of looking at it. 27 feet, yeah, that's a long way. Or as they say here, your small intestines isn't small at all. It's close to 22 feet long. But they say that 27 feet is almost as long as a school flagpole is high. Now, a two-story building generally is more than 27 feet. So if you look at a two-story building, and it'll be higher than 20, it'll be about 27 feet or thereabout, maybe even a little short. So looking up at a two-story building, wow, your intestines are actually longer than that. Amazing, huh? And while your large intestine is wider around, it stretches out only to 5 feet in length. Tall. That's a lot of intestines, 27 feet of guts. Okay, moving right along. These are just interesting facts. I mean, what am I proving? Just having fun. Just showing you some things about your body that you may not know. And some of it will gross you out a little bit. So the next one is a dirty mouth. A dirty mouth. You might think twice before kissing. I don't think this is going to stop you from kissing, so don't worry about it. The most polluted part of your body is your mouth. It's true for everyone, so don't take it personally. In one mouth alone, the number of bacteria can easily exceed the number of people on the earth. Now, we're at about 7 billion, I guess, roughly. So you got about 7 billion. You know, if you put a name on every one of those bacteria in your mouth. 7 billion of those puppies. Brushing and flossing scrape off bacteria for a bit, and some drown in 2 liters of spit you make each day. That's enough to fill a big soda bottle. 2 liters of spit. That's a lot. So let's moving right along to the next one. Okay, I'm going to check back with you guys in a minute, see if anybody wants to talk to me. Don't worry, I'm checking back. I'm going to be back. Okay, face the facts. This is interesting. So now they say, warning, reading this may make your skin crawl. Your face is a host to bugs too tiny to see. These 8-legged mites mate, lay eggs, hatch, and repeat all over your face. That's just a gross thought, isn't it? Ew. Your hairline, eye sockets, and lashes are favorite hiding places. Some of these mites go down the drain when we scrub. If they get out of control, though, they can cause skin problems or eye infections. So that's the advantage of hygiene. That's the advantage of cleaning and scrubbing your skin and so forth, is to keep these mites under control. Moving right along, just put that thought out of your mind. Like, I'm going to let that one go, right? Letting go. Sweat it out. Okay, let me check back. Okay, back to the article. I got about 5 minutes. I don't think we'll even get through all of these, but let me see if there's one that I really wanted to cover. Tired of dusting? You may have yourself to blame. About 70% of the dust in your home is human skin cells. You slough off roughly 1.5 pounds of dead skin a year. That's equal to 3.5 cups of sugar. So we're giving off a lot of skin all the time, aren't we? Okay, gluteus maximus. Gluteus maximus is the Latin name for the largest muscle in your body, your behind. When I read this, I had a thought, so let me share my thought so it comes back again. You have two of them, one for each cheek. These powerful muscles serve as a cushion when you sit down, but they're at best when flexed tight, keep you upright. So every year we get the expression, a tight ass, because he's kind of erect. A tight ass would be really erect and standing erect. So that's that gluteus maximus muscles being tightly pulled in, holding you totally erect. And that gives off that certain image of what we describe as that tight ass, right? Okay, I just kind of thought the two kind of flowed together really well. Okay, we're going to move on to the next one. Right, moving right along here. Let me move. I got to get the page to open up for me. Aha. Under the skin. Oh, was that the next one? Yeah, under the skin. Even stripped to the bone. Women and men are different animals. A male skin that has a square chin, large brow ridge, and sloping forehead. No, we're kind of like different, aren't we? The female one has more pointed chin, smaller brow, and is less angled forehead. And yes, she has wider childbearing hips. So there is a big difference. Well, significant difference between men and women. We don't want to say that there's this huge difference, but the skeleton-wise, we are different, right? Okay, let me checking back. Okay, got a couple of minutes left, so let me just do a couple of more of these. And then thank you for joining me today, or if you listen to the show later on, we'll skip that one. I think a couple of minutes, maybe we'll do one. I think this is kind of cool one, and it's kind of interesting, a little gross, but then, you know, what am I, but a little gross at times, right? Urine for a surprise. Eat certain veggies and you may be bowled over when it comes time to flush. Do you pee red or pink after binging on beets? Or does your urine stink after you eat asparagus? Don't be alarmed. It doesn't mean anything is wrong. This happens to some people. Scientists think it may run in families. So it's a genetic thing. So don't worry about it. Yeah. The different colors come out. You know, don't freak out after eating beets and go, oh, no, there's blood in my urine. No, it's just the beets, right? But you probably knew that at an early age, right? Oh, the last one. This is the last one. Okay. Got about a minute left. So let me just do this one, and then we can end, and we'll talk a little bit more about love, and we'll talk about Thursday. I don't know what we'll talk about. So we'll come back on Thursday, and we'll discuss some more things. When's the last time you thought about your belly button? Science have make a living navel gazing say that their scientists who make a living navel gazing say that they lot going down there. They've delved and probed and found that about 2,400 different germs that call the belly button home. That's a lot of uninvited guests. So I guess it would be good to clean the belly button from time to time, wouldn't it? If you got 2,400 different germs that kind of get in there. Wow. Okay, so back to love. So my solution to the world's problems, right, are all about love. Unconditional love, agape love. Agape being unconditional, principled love, love that is based on God's love or the universe's love or source's energy, love for us, right? So unconditional love, that's the principle. And I still want to talk to you more about that. And, oh, a little commercial, contact me. I have a little special 15 minutes for $10 if you want to contact me for reading, and we can arrange that. We can talk about all of your issues. Thank you. Bye now.